Hare Krishna. So as you can all see, this is a slide presentation on Sri Harinam Chintamani. And specifically, it will be focusing on inattentive chanting. We heard a wonderful presentation by Janakinath Prabhu about some of the ways that we can become inattentive. And I think we listed at least, 20. And we didn't even exhaust all the possibilities. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes Srila Haridas Thakur's writings, and actually a discussion between Srila Haridas Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he presents them in this book, Sri Harinam Chintamani. Chintamani means the jewel, the crest jewel, the best, that which can fulfill all of desires once perfectly and completely. What is that? Krishna's name. Krishna's holy name. The perfection of existence is to chant the holy name. The success of everything we do centers around Krishna's holy name. And the goal of life is to chant Krishna's holy name. This is Lord Chaitanya's gift to the world, a very supreme gift. But because it's Krishna, and because it's non-different than Krishna, although it's easily available, it's not so easily approachable. Easily available, but not easily approachable. And therefore, it requires a mood, a mindset, and a type of determination that is unbroken in order to taste and to achieve the mercy of the holy name. So before we begin, I'll offer prayers to our spiritual master. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastyatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Haru Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So can everyone see the screen? Blas, can you see the screen? Okay. So there's the particular, it's called touchstone. So Chintamani also means touchstone. Now it actually exists. It's not something fictitious that sometimes people think a touchstone is fictitious. It actually is a real piece of paraphernalia in the, it exists in the spiritual world, but sometimes it comes to the material world also. An actual stone that's a touchstone. Actually, Srila Sanatan Goswami had a touchstone. We know that story. And so a touchstone means when you touch it, it fulfills all your desires. Sometimes in the material world, the touchstone has become a gold stone. If you touch it, it turns, whatever you touch to it, becomes gold. But in the spiritual world, Chintamani touchstone means it fulfills all your desires perfectly and completely. And one of the desires of a devotee is somehow how to make Krishna happy. Krishna is always happy, but because everything about Krishna is unlimited, and his happiness is also unlimited, so there's no limit to Krishna's happiness. So we're always trying to connect ourselves with Krishna by making Krishna happy. Okay, so let me see if I can remember how to work this thing. Okay. Is it working? Let's see. Mm-hmm. Did they put the batteries in? Yeah. Okay. Doesn't seem to be working. On the top one? That's the laser. But then this one. This moves the slides. Computer? Okay. No go. It doesn't work from here. So maybe you can do it and I'll just say next slide and you can just do it. Okay, go to the next slide. Okay, here's the first slide. This is a introduction to the glories of Sri Harinam Chintamani. So, a unique feature of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he made his devotees excel in different devotional service and became his mouthpiece for broadcasting that to the world. By inquiring about a few points on chanting of Sri Hari from Sri Haridas, Srila Haridas, the Lord preached the principles of the holy name. These subjects have been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Okay, now this is Sri Harinam Chintamani. This is one version. And it's divided into 15 chapters. And you can see the breakdown. Okay. What we'll do, in order to go back to that slide, we're going to ask devotees to read. Is that okay? And then I'll ask each one of you to read each slide, and then if I don't, then I'll just explain this slide. That way we'll have a little bit more active participation. Go back. So somebody read the first three. Nice and loud with all your enthusiasm. Make like...
The typical glories of the holy name, the process for accepting the name, techniques for chanting the name, free of impersonalistic misconception.
Okay, four chapters 4 through 13.
The 10 offenses against pure chanting.
And chapters 14 and 15 are...
The process of practicing pure devotional service towards the goal of attaining self-realization is prema.
So here, everything is there. The glories of the holy name, accepting the holy name, avoiding impersonalist misconception. Yesterday we gave a class on the 10 offenses. The 32 offenses that are mentioned in Nectar of Devotion that must be avoided in order to proceed nicely in our chanting and in our practice. And the actual science of bhakti in a very concise form, going up to prema. Okay, next slide. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so we'll go a little bit into his life and his contribution. Someone read.
Srila Satchidananda, Bhaktivinoda Thakura. His writings have made the sacred teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully available to every modern reader in a form which carries irresistible conviction and devotion. For this reason, the words of Thakura Bhaktivinoda require to be translated into all languages of the world. The Thakur has written in a comparative manner so as to bring the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into relationship with almost every school of thought prevalent in the world, and his writings give us the full revelation of spirit and divinity to the fullest measure that is possible to be conveyed by the instrument of human speech.
Wow, what a glorification, amazing. But it's not something that is an understatement. I mean, an overstatement. It is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's amazing qualities. And Srila Prabhupada said, we should read the works of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, especially Jaiva Dharma, Harinam Chintanami, and Chaitanya Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Those three works, Prabhupada said, we should read and study them very carefully, especially Jiva Dharma. Next slide. What he does, okay, well here we go. The books is the Jiva Dharma, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhajana Rahasya, a science of bhakti that is based on the Shikshastakam prayers, Sri Navadvip, Dharma Mahatmya, Saranagati, songs, Gitavali, more songs, Amrita Prabha, Bhasya, a commentary on the Chaitanya Charita, and Bhakti Loka, which is a commentary on Nectar of Instructions. So if you want to learn deeper Nectar of Instructions or Nectar Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has provided those works for us. Okay, next. This is his daily schedule. He used to rest from 8 to 10, 2 hours, then write 6 hours, more rest, chant japa, correspondence, study, bathing, court duties. He was a magistrate, stayed at home, gave his family a little bit of time. more court duties, and returned. He was a dutiful household. He had 10 children. Some people say 13. Returned home and translated Sanskrit to Bengali, then took evening bath and meal. Don't ever try to follow this. You won't do it. This is his daily schedule. Okay. His achievements, opened many branches of Harinam, Hamnata all over the world, established over 500 Namhata Sanghas, and wrote Godruma Kalpatavi, and describes the structure of Namhat. And His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj has written a beautiful book expanding on this whole idea of Namhat. Based on, it's actually calls the tree Godruma Kalpatavi, and it's an explanation on the work of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, so continue. Why was this written? Okay, so we want to know why the Shastra came. Somebody read.
Showing kindness to the material body of the living entity.
Okay.
Manasambandhani Deya, showing kindness to the mind by giving knowledge.
And?
Sambandhini Deya, showing kindness to the soul, the best Deya, compassion of all.
Okay. So, kindness is in three categories, to the living entity's body, to his mind, gross body, subtle body, and also the best of all, doya, compassion, is to show kindness to the living entity who is dwelling within the body and mind. That compassion. Next one. Srila Haridas Thakur, this is his works. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praising it. I can't see that, so someone read.
Scrutinizing research and authorized tests has yielded the following facts regarding Srila Haridas Thakur's life. He was born into a Muslim family living in a village called Buddha, near Ramakrishna's town. At a very early age, his previous birth's spiritual proficiency began to progress. He took up devotional activities and announced from the family. He took no shame to the force of benefit and embarked upon a program of intense chanting and meditation.
He chanted how many rounds a day?
192
rounds every day. 333,333 names of God. That was his daily vow. He chanted 100,000 names loudly, 100,000 names softly, 100,000 names silently. So this was his regular vow. Born in a Muslim family, he was within a society of both Hindus and Muslims. Muslims were in the rule, the Hindus were in a lower section. Because he was a Muslim practicing Hindu Dharma, he was discriminated against and also tortured. Okay, a little bit more. Good, to the next slide.
Srila Haridas Thakur became known as Namacharya, or the preceptor and the propagator of the Holy Name. When Lord Chaitanya settled in Jagannath Puri, he arranged a permanent place of residence and bhajan for Srila Haridas near the famous Sita Pakul tree.
Hmm. How many of you been there? Hare Krishna, Jai Ho. Yeah, the Sita Pakul tree. And that Pakul tree is very interesting because Lord Chaitanya used to get every day this toothbrush of Lord Jagannath, which is a little neem twig. And then that was the remnants of Jagannath. So one day he took that neem twig, pushed it in the ground, and this tree came. Jai Panchatattva ki jai. So, okay, next slide. About the holy name. Okay, this is the subject matter. So there are principal names and secondary names. Now we should understand this, that we chant the principal names. And principal names are described as... Someone read? Mm-hmm.
Describe the most transcendental pastimes and contain several descriptions.
Excellences, and these are some of the names.
Radhanatha, Hari, Yashomati, sorry, da, Pramandananda, Madana Mohana, Shyama Sundara, Madhava, Gopinatha, Vraja, Gopala,
Rakshala,
Yadava, etc.
Mm-hmm. And what is the result?
Anyone who chants the names, the name can attain the Lord's supreme abode.
Okay, these are the principles, names that describe his qualities, his pastimes, and his relationships with his pure devotees. Okay, so we have the secondary names are?
Describe the Lord's affiliation with the material energy. So he's creator, super soul, the Brahman, maintainer and annihilator of the world, Yajna, Swara and Hara.
Hmm.
Invoked by those pursuing the furtive activity and empirical knowledge and pursuit to
results
pretty and I'm sorry, I cannot see properly. That's why I was not reading.
Piety and salvation, but not Krishna Prem.
Okay. So we don't chant the principal names, although we can sometimes indicate the Lord through these names. Okay. Next. The word Krishna, coming from the Mahabharata, Yoga, Ayodhya, Parva, Krishbu vachanan sabdan nacha nirvitti vachanaha tayor aikyam param brahma krishna itya bibindiyate. Okay, the word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence and na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to the affix na, it becomes Krishna, which is the absolute truth. So there's the origin in Shastra. At least there's the reference in Shastra. The name has no origin. It's just a reference to give us some understanding. So that's from the Mahabharata. Next, the word Rama. Ramati yoginam nante satyanande chiranami iti Rama pade na so param brahma bidhiyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth is called Rama because the transcendental pleasure takes place in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. So everyone wants pleasure, But real pleasure is found on the spiritual world, in the spiritual world, and it is embodied in the name Rama. So sometimes we say Balarama. He takes great pleasure in using strength like that. Okay, the origin of, and the word Hari, Hare, the vocative form of addressing, that means calling. It's Hari, Krishna, and Hare is Radharani. So Hare is actually Srimati Radharani. Okay. We all know that. Okay, next. This is a beautiful verse from Ananta. Among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed methods are the best. For these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and the ecstatic love for Him. Now, out of the 9 processes of devotion, the most important is to chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 offenses, one can easily obtain valuable love of God. So although there are nine angas, and each of the angas are an anga of bhakti, but in this age, the anga, or the principle of chanting the holy name, must be accompanied, the other 9 must accompany in this particular anga. If it doesn't, then one will not get the benefit of the other angas. Full benefit. Okay, so the holy name is there. Somebody read this one.
The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally useful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental melons. It is not a material name, and under any condition, it is
no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical.
This is a very powerful and foundational verse that describes the essence of Krishna's name. Never touches the material world, completely transcendental. It is pure, it is non-different, it is liberated. It is Krishna himself. It is never anything but Krishna himself. So, this is a very... Okay, next person, get ready to read, whoever you are.
Brihad Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra from Padma Puran. Rama Rameti Rameti Rame 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 Manorame Sahasra Nama Bhistulyam Rama Nama Varanane. Lord Shiva addressed his wife Durga. O Varanana, I chant the holy name of Ram, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. This holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu.
Next slide. Okay. Next, Sahasra Nama Puryanam Tri Avritya Tu Yat Phalam Ik Avritya Tu Krishnaya Namakam Tat Payachchati. Next, read.
The pious results derived from the chanting the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu 3 times can be attained by only one utterance of the holy name of Krishna.
Uh-huh. So 1,000 names of Vishnu in spiritual potency equals one name of Krishna. Next slide. Inattentive chanting. Okay, so here we go. The rest was just an introduction. This is the class. Okay. Is there anybody that has that problem? No, nobody does. Anyway, we'll just go through it just for revision. Just nobody has that problem. Okay. This is from Harinam Chintami. Someone read.
One may carefully avoid all other nama aparadas, yet still not experience the ecstasy of the pure name.
Why? Next verse.
It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting, the 11th offense.
The 11th, or the additional offense. Next one.
Negligent chanting sows the seeds of anarthas, which soon fructify.
Okay, so there are devotees that I know of, and we who have been chanting for 10, 20 years, and are still chanting inattentively. And they can't really make any progress. Why? Because of that inattentive chanting. And it says here, it plants seeds that bring about greater blockages in our spiritual life, or anarthas. Artha means that which is wanted, that which is auspicious, that which is desirable. Anartha means inauspicious, undesirable, must be avoided. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the 11th offense. If you avoid the 11th offense, you will avoid the tendency to avoid the other 10 offenses becomes manifest. If you don't, then the other 10 offenses can easily be offended, and the other 10 principles can easily become, in other words, you will commit other offenses. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we must put our attention here if we really want to make progress in spiritual life. Sometimes we think, what should I do? Should I just eat less, sleep less? Should I just be nicer to everybody more? What should I do to make progress? These things are nice. You know, should I pay my obeisances longer? What should I do? Should I make sure my tilak is nicer? Make sure my dhoti is in the right position? What should I do to make progress in spiritual life? Here you go. Attentive chanting. This is foundational to all our success in spiritual life. Okay, next.
Inattentiveness and negligence are synonymous. Why is negligent chanting the root cause of other offense?
Why? Okay, so go on. Here, there's a little image here. Get the picture?
A friend you haven't seen for a long time invites you over to their house so you can catch up. You excitedly rush over only to find yourself completely ignored while they do something less important. List some emotions you would be experiencing.
Okay, that's an exercise. Put yourself in a similar situation. How would you feel? You invited someone to be with, and then they want to do something else, and so.
Disappointed.
Disappointed, good.
Happy.
Huh?
Very happy.
Happy? Okay. Maybe, hopefully happy that maybe it'll change. Okay, thank you.
Frustrated.
Hurt. Something else?
Angry.
Unwanted.
You feel unwanted. Yeah, these are all negative feelings that come when something apparently was going to be nice but became something not nice or opposite. So there is some hope of some pleasure, some exchange, and the opposite comes. And so these are some of the feelings. Okay, so you have to understand this is the idea of inattentive chanting. You're calling Krishna and then you ignore him. Okay. Next. Okay. Consequences of inattentive chanting. Someone read.
People are naturally attached to material things. Their memories are absorbed in matter. On the one hand, someone chants the holy name, but his mind and attention are far away from his chanting. Even if he chants one lakh, 100,000 holy names on his mala, not a drop of taste for the Lord's name is produced in his heart.
This is a vivid example of inattentive chanting and its result. It is difficult to restrain the heart of a materialist from such offenses.
Okay. You got the picture? So much chanting, so much endeavor, not a drop of taste. Next. Okay, now we're going into the different types of inattention. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being a spiritual scientist, has carefully analyzed inattention and divided it into three aspects. And they are called, read the Sanskrit also.
Odasinya, odasinya, apathy, jaja, laziness and inertia, viksepa, distraction.
Okay, so all forms of inattention fall into one of these three categories, or all three. So, audaksina, apathy. That means no enthusiasm, lackadaisical. Another word is used as lackadaisical. Routine, mechanical, just trying to get it done. Really, not really trying to meet Krishna in the holy name, not trying to purify the heart, not trying to please Krishna. Jadya, lazy inertia. Sometimes it's mentioned sleep. It's similar to audaksina, but jadya means more or less, you know, one is just sleepy. And they can't stay awake. They somehow, you've seen that in our temples, you know. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Why did you do that? You're sleeping. No, I'm not. Anyway, it's just like, yeah. We even deny it. Okay, so vikshepa, distraction, everyone knows what that is. Thinking about other things. But it doesn't really say thinking about Krishna consciousness in a different way. It says thinking about material things. You have to go shopping. The husband forgot to give you the money for the groceries. You know, all kinds of material things, whatever, planning, or lamenting about what happened in the past, problem solving, we talked about that last night, trying to solve somebody, some problems while you're chanting, because problems do arise. Right? We understand that sometimes the problem is not there until you start chanting, and what happens? The mind starts to dwell on those things that it's kind of harboring on the unconscious. And then the unconscious brings it to the conscious level because of the chanting. And then we try to solve these problems. And what we do is go back and forth, debating with our mind, arguing with our mind, coming up with solutions, canceling those solutions, going into another solution, and at the end saying, oh, forget it. Because you can't solve it in your mind. That's, you have to remember, you cannot solve your problems in your mind. You can write it down if you feel like there's something important to be remembered later. Go back to it later. You can do that, but don't make that a program for your japa to solve your problems. Okay, so vikshepa is distraction. And then we also have getting us distracted by the external environment. Chanting, sitting with a focused attention, keeping the eyes half open or alternating open and closed eyes is the recommended means for positioning yourself, keeping the back straight. But sometimes the devotee wants to walk around, feels in the need to chant by walking. that is okay. Sometimes sleepiness is overcome by walking. We do that. But what happens? The tendency to look around and get distracted by the external environment comes. So one of the things I would highly recommend, maybe it's something that's unavoidable for some of you, is don't chant in the place where you do your day-to-day activities, because you're starting to see the paraphernalia that reminds you of what you have to do throughout the day, and then the mind starts dwelling on these and gets distracted. There is no alternative for chanting. Chanting means full concentration. You can't do other things and expect to get benefit. Kind of chanting means you can walk around, but we recommend, and this is highly recommended, you look at the floor when you're walking. There's nothing to see down there, generally. Okay, next one. Symptoms of unattentive chanting. Okay, so these are the symptoms of each of the categories. Someone can read. For Aldakshina, apathy.
On the one hand, someone chants the holy name, but his mind and attention are far away from his chanting.
Okay, Jadya.
He begins by chanting and remembering the holy name, but very soon feels it unendurable and wants to sleep. One is distracted with other things all around him.
Okay. So there's the symptoms of this unattentive chanting. Any questions about that? Yes.
Is it all right to keep one's eyes closed and see, you know, the form of the Lord, or
think of Srila Prabhupada and remember his murti form? Because most of the times I tend to keep my eyes closed when chanting.
When you keep your eyes closed, the thoughts of the mind speed up. When you keep your eyes open, they slow down, because generally that's true. So if you can focus your concentration on something, the form of the Lord, then that's nice. But Srila Prabhupada makes a statement in the Bhagavatam where he says that when you're clearly chanting the holy name, the Lord's form will automatically appear without separate endeavor. So he makes that point that when you're chanting nicely, the form will appear. But if you try to surreptitiously or superimplant the form of the Lord in your mind, you may hold it for a little while, but it'll go in and out. When the Lord actually comes automatically, then you can absorb yourself. He comes automatically when the chanting is clear and nice. I'm sure we had that. Devotees have that experience. When you're chanting, all of a sudden, a transcendental form will enter into your consciousness. Yeah, it happens. Yes? No? No?
That's the only...
I don't believe you. No, I do believe you, but it does happen. When you're chanting clearly and continuously, clear chanting. Clear means you're pronouncing the words clearly.
But on the other hand, I find when I open my eyes, I'm more distracted by what's around me.
Yeah, if you can do that without losing that connection, yeah. But as soon as you lose your connection, another thought's going to come in the mind. Usually it comes naturally when you're clear chanting. If you try to surreptitiously do it, you may get some success, but you'll be in and out. And then after a while, you usually give it up. Any comment on that one? No. It depends on the person, on their level of practice, and on their level of spiritual advancement, like that. Anything else about... Yes, Bhavesh Prabhu?
On apathy, it's explained that the mind is far away from the chanting. I was wondering how that is different to distraction, because there the mind is also thinking about other things.
Distraction seems to be, you know, focusing on something material. Here is just a wandering mind. That's what it seems like. That's the way I can interpret that. Yes? Vishnupriya, what would you say about that? You wanted to say something? Okay. Someone? Some interpretation?
I try to chant maybe a circle or two per day, but Prabhupada said 16 circles. But anytime I chant, I find myself in this situation.
Well, just keep chanting. It'll get better. It's like practicing. Do you do sports? Bicycle riding?
Swimming, yes.
Swimming, yeah. Did you become expert at the beginning? Okay. But because you want to do it, you become expert, yeah. So in the same way, we have to practice. Practice, practice. And follow the principles. It seems like it's just a roving mind going from one thing to another. In other words, because there's a lack of enthusiasm, the mind is just drifting everywhere and anywhere. Sometimes there's nothing in the mind. It's just roving, going from place to place. Here, it's more like focusing on something that is of a nature of something material. And in Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur says, thinking about money, thinking about the opposite sex. In other words, the more powerful forms of material enjoyment, like that. Thinking about success in one's life, you know. This is the way he describes it. He gives examples like that. Yes.
Okay, so attentive chanting, is it reached at the stage of nishtha or ruchi? Which stage would go with attentive chanting?
Attentive chanting can usually has to get rid of 75% of the anarthas have to be free before one can move to the stage of nishtha. As long as the anarthas is there, it's very difficult and practically impossible to maintain attentive chanting. So on the platform of nishtha, it can develop. On the platform of ruchi, it develops nicely. And then you're chanting. But when it comes to ashakti, then it's swarasika. Swarasika means spontaneously chanting. There's no really excess endeavor. The name is just flowing like that. There's mantra trala and swarasika. One is you're trying to chant the mantra. The other one is the mantra is just flowing nicely. So on nishtha, it starts to begin a chanting like that. Okay. Tikashori, you wanted to say something?
I was thinking about the difference between apathy and distraction.
Yeah.
Do you think that the difference is between the mouth enthusiasm?
Okay, so I was thinking about the difference between apathy and distraction, and to me it seems that it has to do with enthusiasm and faith. If we are enthusiastic and have faith in the Holy Name, we can still chant being distracted.
Yes.
But with apathy we think, okay, maybe it works, I'm not sure what to do, I have to...
Nice point, very nice point, yes. Because of a lack of enthusiasm and maybe even a lack of faith, falls into the category of apathy, like that. Okay. Anyone from the men's side? Okay, yes. These three connected to the three gunas? And there's no reference anywhere like that. But you can might say that sleep is more or less is ignorance. Al-Dakshina is... I don't see any goodness in there. Maybe just passion and ignorance mixed in. Okay. Any more questions? Yes, Nuria. Yeah, give her the microphone. Her voice is very soft.
Hare Krishna, we'd like to ask about, you know, when you are sleeping, when you sleep in the night, during the night, and then suddenly you wake up and you discover yourself chanting, but you are not aware.
You know, we pray for that.
Oh, I don't know. That comes from an attentiveness?
Oh, no. That's just spontaneous attraction to the holy name manifests even in a subtle existence of sleep like that. Okay. You shouldn't condemn that. That doesn't fall into any offense. That's nice. We want to come to the point of actually chanting 24 hours a day, so that's available, I think. So chanting 24 hours a day means there are time where you are sleeping, so if it carries on in your sleep, that means the heart is connected to Krishna through the holy name. Or the mind is connected to Krishna through the holy name. Nicely. Yeah, we want that. That's nice. You go to a kirtan program, you go to a 12-hour kirtan, and then you're just buzzing high, and then you take rest at night, and then you're chanting when you're going to sleep. When you wake up, that same melody that you liked the best was still going on. And then you're going to do your morning duties, it's still going on. And then your wife says, "Hey, why didn't you take out the garbage?" And then you say, "Oh no, what happened to the holy name?" Something like that, anyway. In other words, there's some distraction that comes up. So yeah, but it happens. It is naturally, what we say, a principle to internalize the quality of our chanting where it resonates. There's a story where Srila Prabhupada was asked, "Are you always chanting Hare Krishna?" Because Prabhupada did so many other things. And he said to the devotee who asked him, he said, "Come and put your ear on my back." And the devotee did that, and he could hear the sound of the holy name going on inside of Prabhupada. Yeah. And I have experienced that with other great devotees, where you can feel their whole body resonating the holy name. So, you know, when we become a little bit purified, then the holy name becomes more and more a part of us, and then becomes our constant companion. Like that. You don't even have to audibly chant it, it just manifests itself. And Prabhupada said, actually, you know, for a pure devotee, the holy name is always there. He doesn't even have to think about chanting, it's always with him. So, yeah. Janakinath Prabhu, yes. Janakinath gave a beautiful class last night. Did you like the class? Yeah, it was really quite edifying.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the root cause of other offenses is negligence or inattentive chanting, which sows the seeds of anartha, which will soon fructify.
Right.
And then you mentioned that only when 75% of anartha is removed, then you come to the stage of nishtha.
That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written that in Bhajana Rahasya.
And that's where attentive chanting happens.
That's where it can manifest.
So Marge, it seems,
but if you're still committing offenses, then it won't manifest. Because that 75% is the three categories of narcissists except offenses. Offenses always carry up all the way to the category of prema. One can commit offenses even on prema. Uh-huh. So if there's offenses committed, then the holy name will not manifest.
So Maharaj, it seems like to get to Nishtha, it's impossible, because as long as we have anarthas, inattentive chanting will always be there, which will plant more seeds of anarthas, and it's a bit of a vicious cycle.
Anartha nivritti is the fourth stage. Right. That's where we're practicing. Once we take initiation from the spiritual master and work under his guidance, we become diligent in following the instructions and start to understand how to apply the instructions to overcome the blockages in our Krishna consciousness. So that's part of our prarabdha karma, which manifests day to day. So then as we manifest it, we work on that. And then when you get through 75%, when you destroy 75% of your anarthas, you move solidly to Nishtha. You're fixed on that platform. So most of us, I don't want to sound critical, but most of us are struggling with anartha nivritti. It's the big platform. Like that. But once you get to Nishtha means you can still fall down, but you won't give up devotional service. And in anartha nivritti stage, you can also give up Krishna consciousness because of the tendency to be unable to remove the anarthas, or what we say, attached to material desires and still doesn't want to give up these material desires, or cannot give them up because of lack of accepting the mercy of the Lord.
Sure.
So these things are there. So yeah, you can come to attentive chanting on Nishtha platform, but you could also lose it if you commit offenses.
So anarthas, Maharaj, you're going to be doing inattentive chanting, but working under the guidance of the spiritual master, even though you're doing inattentive chanting, but through his guidance you can reach the stage of Nishtha.
Yeah. That's what he's there for, to guide you from step to step. There's symptoms of each of the steps, and you can, by knowing the symptoms and observing them, symptoms in yourself, you can see what platform of practice you're on.
Thank you.
Okay. It takes a little introspective. You have to be introspective, and Krishna consciousness means to be self-introspective. Not looking so much on the outside about what's going on out there and blaming that for your problems. Our problems are all internal. And once we purify that, then it manifests itself externally. Like that. So, there was another hand over here. Yes, Radha Vinodini.
I was wondering what categories when we're thinking of our service.
The acharyas basically say that if you're thinking of your service and you're chanting, it's not considered distraction, but better to think of the holy name, because that's what you're doing if you're chanting. But if you're thinking of your service automatically, that is allowable. But if you're consciously thinking of your service and honor, then that would be a distraction. It happens sometimes. You're concerned about how to organize your service or what you need to do. So your mind goes to that because that desire is there. Because the desire is there, it pulls the mind to that thought. That's okay. Bring it back. It's not an offense. It's not considered distraction. But it is not the essence of the process of meditation. Meditation means to absorb yourself in the sound vibration.
because I was wondering, this is the first category of I was wondering if it's the first category, because it may be that I'm not enthusiastic enough about the chanting, about the holy name. Is it because that the
It could be, yeah. It could be because of lack of enthusiasm or not full enthusiasm, the mind will go. The mind is powerful. The mind represents Krishna. The senses represent the demigods. So the mind is very powerful. And it can drag you away even against your own will. That's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, Arjuna says, you're asking me to control the mind, but I think it's like controlling the wind. And Krishna says, you're right, but you can do it by practice. By practice, and he also gives the second principle, giving up sense gratification. Because if you don't give up sense gratification and you practice Krishna consciousness simultaneously, you're just building a fire and throwing water on it at the same time. That's all. You can't really build your fire if you keep every once in a while want to cool it down. Some people say that I'm afraid of going. I don't want to make too much advancement because my material life will be finished. You know, Krishna, here's my list. You check it out. These are the things I don't want, and these are the things you shouldn't mess around with, because these are the ones I'm going to keep. So don't take those away, please. Krishna says, I think this one is for Vishnu. I'll give it to Vishnu. Vishnu says, I'll give it to Indra. So, in other words, you can't bargain with the idea that I'm going to make so much advancement, but not more than that. Yes. Okay. Pass the microphone to Adarya Chandrika. Thank you. You have to chant purely before it works. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
There you go.
To chant attentively, Prabhupada said, like simple, just chant like a child cries for
right.
her mother sincerely.
That's the mood of chanting.
Yes. That means that if I will chant like this, it is like a helpless mood. My mood will be like helpless. But how to be in that mood when I see on the other hand Krishna helps me so much in my life? How to feel myself helpless if
He's helping you because you're helpless. As soon as you give up your helplessness, He stops helping you.
But I cannot stay in that mood to be helpless.
You have to do something. You take His mercy and be successful in your execution of activities within devotional service within your life. But you should always remember, behind your enthusiasm, your endeavor, your ability is Krishna's mercy. If you forget that, then you, after some time, not right away, Krishna will withdraw that mercy. So you always have to check in and remember that. The thing is, we are helpless because even if we're having some apparent success in life, material energy is right there. Anytime anything can be finished, death can come at any second. Calamities can come at any moment. Prabhupada said, we're walking through this park here in Denver, Colorado. Very nice park. He was with his devotees morning walk. Looks very nice. He said, at any minute, it can be a blazing fire and all destroyed. Material world doesn't give you any warning sometimes. So that way, with that understanding that you're always in a position of need, then you can always be in a position of helplessness. So it's a mindset. The mood may come and go according to you know, how much you're practicing that mindset. But if you understand that that's important, then at different times you'll be in that mindset. Krishna, save me. Krishna, I have to do this project. Without your mercy, how can I become successful? I want to get this job. How can I, you know? In other words, always dependent on Krishna in every situation. That's what it means to be helpless. It doesn't mean not to act. Arjuna had a fight, but Krishna says, fight for the sake of fighting, not considered happiness and distress, loss or gain, victory, defeat. But fight for me. I mean, fighting means you really have to wax anger and be really upfront. But in the background, Arjuna knew it's Krishna. You have to keep that in your mind or in your heart, somewhere in your life.
This is quite advanced level.
All right. I'll give you a sutra. If you can remember this, you have to act like it depends on you, and you have to know it doesn't. If you can practice that, it's clear. You have to act like it depends on you, but you have to know it doesn't. That's detachment. That's detachment. Okay, next slide. Examples of inattentive chanting. Okay, here you go. Okay, somebody read.
Driving japa, newspaper japa, sightseeing japa, radar japa, prajalpa japa, machine gun japa, cell phone japa, sleeping japa.
Read that one. Read this one again.
Cell phone japa.
Again.
Cell phone japa.
One more time.
Cell phone japa.
Okay.
Sleeping japa, shopping japa, Facebook japa.
Oh yeah, this last one too. My red light decided to quit. It burnt out on cell phone japa. I guess I committed an offense to this thing. So yeah, so here's our friend over there. Hare Krishna, Donald Trump, Hare Krishna. Yeah, so various types of... Do we have any experiences in our life of any of these? Okay. Please try to avoid it. Anybody want to talk about any one of them? Machine gun japa. Ram. We got it. Hare Krishna. That was good japa, boy. I did 16 rounds in 20 minutes. I was talking to one lady. I said, how long do you take to chant japa? She said, I do my 16 rounds in 48 minutes. I said, every word in the mantra? She was... didn't want to argue with me. She said, this is what I do. I said, yeah, I pay my obeisances. So yeah, it's not like trying to beat the clock like that. Sleeping japa, cell phone japa. How about cooking japa? We didn't get add that one. The ladies have that problem. Yeah.
I don't know, acceptable for the mind. Whatever this is, you know, driving japa, Facebook japa, it means that sincerely we don't want to chant. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it falls into the category al-dakshina. Just no enthusiasm for chanting. Or I've been known to multitask, you know. I'm a multitasker. So I add japa to whatever else I do. But Krishna is not there. He has to be the complete focus. And you won't get any benefit. You'll get benefit from the... You know, when you split your japa with any of these, you generally don't get the benefit of any of it. It's like sometimes we say, if you give up the spiritual for the material, you lose both. If you give up the spiritual in order to gain in the material, you lose both, because you can't keep anything material. So in the same way, when you try to split your japa, you don't really get the benefit of either the activity. And then you also commit offenses.
Also, when Mataji Udara Chandrika mentioned that we should chant like child crying for a mother, also reminded me, you know, sometimes you see little children, they just want their mother. You want to distract them with other things. You offer them this, that, but no, they are crying out like crazy to get the mother. So actually we should really only want Krishna.
Well, that analogy is used, that only when the mother comes is the baby satisfied. Even if some other lady holds the baby still, it's not the same. Okay, yes. Yes. What is that one? Radar japa? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. She's wearing that same sari again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In other words, scanning the environment. Don't miss anything in the environment. You got it? Radar? Radar means picks up everything in the range, you know? Okay? Is that clear? Yeah. So that we want to avoid that. Okay. So, Neelachala.
So, it happens if someone else is chanting japa and you see them, do you acknowledge them or just...
And someone else is committing these offenses?
If they're chanting and there's always a tendency to say Hare Krishna but they're chanting, so should you
don't disturb their chanting. You're just saying Hare Krishna and they're already saying Hare Krishna. You just want some notification. You want to be noticed. No, that's not good. Sri Devi, you had something?
When we are not counting, that means we are not keeping track of the number of rounds, and we say, you know, I've chanted for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is, and so I think I've covered my 16 rounds. Maybe, maybe not.
You have to use counter beads. Sankhya Purna, it's mentioned that the Goswamis, Sankhya, what is that verse from the Goswami Astakam? Do you know that, Divya? Sankhya Purna Tanadi B. It's one of the prayers to the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis, although they were chanting incessantly, Sankhya means to count. They kept counter beads. One time, Radhana Swami told me this. This was in the early days. He had somehow or other lost his counter bead. So he's sitting in a lecture and Prabhupada's there and Prabhupada's talking. And Prabhupada starts to talk about japa, and he says, and now when you finish the round, you go like this, and you pull that one bead there, and then you count that like that. Then Maharaj said, oh, I realize Prabhupada was saying, I have to get some new counter beads. So we have to count. It's important to count. Lord Chaitanya counted. He also kept counter beads. Numerical vow is required when you chant. You make a numerical vow, 16 for those who initiate as minimum. Others can make numerical vows. You keep that numerical vow, but you have to count every day. Yeah. That's why counter beads are there. And they're important, necessary. Yes, anything else? Silpa?
I just want to finish that question, Guru Maharaj. So if someone is saying that we are chanting for so many hours, we don't have to count because we are chanting so...
Don't believe them.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I just don't believe... It's not like what they say is okay. It's not. Silpa's all right behind you.
Maharaj, my question was, if we're trying to finish our japa, and it's a matter of time, and we do commit these offenses, is it best not to do them?
Not to do your rounds? No, it's better not to commit these. But if you have something that is required to do, just like pujaris have to have a certain schedule, or if you have to cook for the family, or, you know, the children, or you need something, and those things cannot sometimes be put aside, you have to make time in your daily schedule, where you schedule your japa in where there's no other activity. You have to do that. You look at your 24 hours, you carefully try to see. Preferably, it's early morning time. Usually there's not too many things to do early in the morning. So we recommend, and it's also very conducive to quality japa, to chant early. And Prabhupada actually said the rounds you chant before Mangalarti, the rounds you chant during the Brahma Muhurta hour, have more spiritual power than they than later on in the day. Brahma Muhurta? Brahma Muhurta is 1.5 hours before sunrise. 2:48 periods. Two muhurtas make a Brahma Muhurta. 48 and 48, 96 minutes. Like that. Yes. Prabhu, yeah.
Hare Krishna. So, some devotees are chanting extra rounds also. So is it appropriate to do them during class or during kirtan or something?
Why would you want to do extra rounds when you're doing something else? Better to go to the kirtan and go to the class, and if you want to do extra rounds, do them some other time. Extra rounds means extra, not at the same time. Right?
What about, we can see many times before Mangalarati, when devotees are chanting and then it's time that the curtain opens, and some of them, they prolong their round into the Mangalarati.
Don't worry about it.
So we can do that? Or?
Don't worry about it. It's not important. If somebody's doing that, it's not our... Don't worry about that. That's their problem. Okay. It's not for us to judge them or not to judge them. It's not our problem.
No, I'm asking if it's appropriate thing to do. Like, well, if we are mid-round...
You're judging. You're judging whether it's appropriate or not, and you're saying you're doing something inappropriate. Don't worry about it.
So, but if we...
If
we
you
are,
do it,
yeah.
Don't do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Because when the word appears, then you should pay full attention. If somebody else does it, don't worry about
yes.
it.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
While the chanting with the pretension from Mangalarati, we are maybe being happy or something, should we leave them? We could stop there or how?
Stop you around there, yeah.
Stop there, right?
Yeah, stop there. Mm-hmm. Krishna's appearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just stop there. Yes.
Just to get the point clear, some of those activities that are here connected with japa are unavoidable, like sleeping or shopping. And the order is best to chant 24 hours a day. So chanting while going shopping,
okay,
for example,
okay,
outside of
the
japa,
idea is,
this
the
is
idea
okay.
is this. Good question, very good question. The idea is this. Your prescribed number of rounds you have to do attentively, with no other activity going on. So if you're, whatever your prescribed number of rounds. Now, once you finish that, you go on to your day-to-day activities. You can still chant while you're working. But you don't carry your beads and chant. You just chant. Hatte koro kaji muki boro hori, it says. Chant, work with your hands and chant the holy name. That's Bengali. So they recommend that you can chant throughout the day, but those are not the rounds that you have vowed to your spiritual master. That's just because the principle is satatam kirtayantam, always remember Krishna. So you can chant anytime, any place, anywhere. Like that.
Thank you.
Okay, but not your prescribed rounds. Kosol.
So why do we chant to Krishna and stuff?
Hmm?
Why do we chant to Krishna and that? Because if we chant more Krishna, he can hear what you're saying to him back.
And he's happy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's very happy to hear that. So the more you chant, the more Krishna's happy. Thank you. Go on to the next slide. Ekantika, you had a question? Okay. All right, let's go. Consequences of inattentive chanting. Someone read? My red light is no longer working. We're going to need the microphone.
Not a drop of dust for the Lord's name is produced in his heart.
Even if one chants 1 lakh of holy names, not a drop of the taste. And what does it say?
Distraction in chanting produces a type of illusion causing serious offenses against the holy name that are very difficult to overcome. This illusion leads to a craving for wealth, woman, position, success, and even cheating. When these attractions cover the heart, the neophyte gradually loses interest in chanting of the holy name.
So this is a more of a complete description of distraction. Okay. Any questions regarding that? Yes, Michela? Okay. Very good question. I think that might come up as a solution. We'll get to that. The solution is also going to be given here. Continue. How many more slides about? Okay. We'll get to the solutions too. Someone, remedies for Aldakshina. So here's some of the remedies. Okay. Here, this is actually answering your question. Okay, someone read nice and loud, Anuradha. Scream it out.
Yeah. Make it his daily routine to chant for an hour in the company of a saintly Vaishnava in a lonely, secluded spot. Taking note of the Vaishnava's devotional attitude and his relish for the holy name, the neophyte should try to emulate this mood, sit in a closed room alone and meditate on the name as did the previous sages. If that is not possible, then one should cover the head and face with a cloth and concentrate on the holy name.
Have you tried that? I have. It works. So there's the solution. One should seek out the company of great devotees who are chanting the holy name. One should try to emulate, not imitate, emulate their mood. And if that doesn't work, go in a closed room, cover your, you know, senses and concentrate. Yes.
If you cover the head and face with the cloth, then our eyes are closed.
Bhakti Vinod Thakur is telling you what to do. Don't argue with him. So you don't want to see anything, do you? Is there something to see?
Your Holiness mentioned that the mind thoughts get speeded up.
But speed it up with thoughts of Krishna. Put Krishna's image in the mind. Or really concentrate hard on chanting the holy name. This is called This is called a surgical operation. There's some remedial medicines that are given, but this is the real, when inattention is really strong, this is what you need to do. This is more like a last resort. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Emulation means to Nitikishori, what is the meaning of the word emulation? She's better at English than I am. To emulate means to follow by example. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, follow by example. Not imitate. Imitate is I'm doing what they're doing. But observe their example and try to emulate that. Or try to follow that.
Something like getting the core of it and not the external.
Right. The external is, we sometimes imitate how a person speaks or how a person talks or walks. That's imitation. You want to emulate their qualities. You want to bring. You want to have those same qualities by practicing those qualities also. Janakinath Prabhu.
Does this bring about judgmental mentality, though? Is that who's saintly and who's not? And just to understand that, because
no, because you look for those persons who you know are in advance. In the Sri Bhajana Rahasya, no, I'm sorry, in Sri Bhajanamrita, by Srila Narahari Sakar, he explains one should know the difference between the different levels of Vaishnavas and what levels they're practicing on. You have to make discrimination. Who's a neophyte, who's on the middle platform, who's on the Uttamam platform. Not for the sake of criticizing, but for the sake of accepting association and direction. We should know that. And try to understand that. You can understand that by symptoms. One who never finds fault with another person is at least on the Madhyam platform. Or maybe even on an Uttamam platform. That's a high quality. One who is free from fault finding, that is a very high quality. When you meet a person like that, and you want that person's association. Yes, okay. Next, go to the next one. Results of applying remedies. Someone read, please. Yeah, Ivan, you have the microphone.
Step by step, his mind and attention becomes fixed in the holy name. By constant chanting, the mellow of the holy name makes him anxious to taste more of that nectar. He is attracted to be in the presence of Tulasi Devi and to reside in a place of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Always seeking the association of saintly devotees, he takes up their discipline. He follows in the footsteps of previous pure devotees in relishing the sublime joy of intimate devotional service, or bhajan. He begins with an hour of bhajan, then two, then three, then increases it to four. Finally, he chants not less than 3 lakhs of holy names a day. This helps him to soon sever his links with materialism.
Step-by-step process. Because when you're actually chanting, you don't want to stop. Prabhupada said, when you're chanting, you'll say 16 rounds, why not 16,000 rounds? It becomes, you actually become, you can't stop chanting when you taste that on the holy name. You just, so then it just gradually increases like that. Okay, next one. Continue, next one. Here's a remedy for Jadya.
Advanced devotees are cautious about this offense. They never waste a single moment in useless talks or activities, constantly meditating on the Lord's holy name. They are so absorbed in the nectar of the holy name that they do not care for anything else. One must make an effort to associate with such rare devotees and follow their example, thus ridding oneself of laziness.
So looking, searching out those persons that are of that, of this caliber here. They never waste the time for useless talk. They're constantly meditating on the holy name. They don't care for anything else. Seek out their association. Okay. Next. Okay. The results of getting proper remedies for Jadya.
It is the nature of saintly Vaishnavas to be always engaged in devotional activities. They never waste time uselessly. Seeing this, one will become immediately attracted to this devotional trait. One will ask himself how he can also become like these devotees, immersed in meditation upon the holy name. How, from this very day, can he gradually increase his chanting until he can actually chant 3 lakhs of holy names with inspiration and eagerness? When Lord Krishna sees such enthusiasm, he reciprocates by removing the neophyte's mental inertia with the power of his name and by bringing him into the association of advanced devotees.
Mm-hmm. Here's the process, okay. Now, one may be doing other services, but still, the holy name is there. Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions about this one? We're going a little bit faster now because we're getting on in time here. So, okay, next. Remedies for distraction. This is, all this information is available to anyone who wants it. So if anybody wants this slide presentation, just see, let's see, can we say Janakinath? Yeah. Give him your email, and then we'll make sure you get this. I'll give you the whole thing, which is 135 slides. This is an abbreviated version. Okay. Yes, okay.
Make a constant effort to drive material cravings away from the mind and diligently follow the rules of Vaishnava etiquette. Begin by observing Ekadashi vows, appearance, days of the Lord, and other important festival days. Spend the entire festival day and night chanting and singing the glories of the Lord in association of saintly devotees. Observe festivals by being in one of the dhamas with pure devotees in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami, reading and discussing sastra. Wholeheartedly participate in these festivals without anxiety or hesitation.
Here, it's interesting. This is a concentrated form of getting rid of this distraction by attending festivals and doing a absorption into transcendental activities that is complete, such as festivals, kirtan melas, just like, I don't know, next weekend there's a 5 hour, two full days of kirtan in different places, in New Raja Dham, there's a festival, in where else, in, where is that place, in Nishingha Kshetra, will be there for kirtan programs. You just absorb yourself in the holy name. Go to japa retreats. Go to japa, you know, kirtan retreats like that. Concentrate it on a little bit of, you know, and that breaks through this barrier of what we say being afflicted by distraction. You put yourself in the fire of the holy name, or the fire of the association of people who are fired up. We want to get fired up. We don't want to stay like a match. We want to be like a fire. Okay, so this is a remedy for distraction. Any questions? Yes.
Here it says that on the appearance days of the Lord, But there are so many services involved from 3 o'clock in the morning till next day 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think this is means just to attend those festivals, not to go there and do service. Well, doing service is absolute, but in this case, it's talking about a particular remedy of absorbing yourself in the activities of the festival, singing, dancing, hearing Krishna Katha, speaking Krishna Katha.
But does this mean that when somebody is doing the service all day, is this counted as
service meditation? Is absolute. But you have to understand that when it comes to our practice, we have to develop a taste for chanting. If we don't develop a taste for chanting, we're not going to be able to progress really in our Krishna consciousness. So these are remedies in order to develop a taste. But service is on the absolute platform. Yeah. So if you are absorbed in service throughout the day, that is as good as, you know, chanting the holy names. But still, chanting the holy names have to be there. So it's absolute. Prabhupada used to say, I'm doing my dictaphones, I'm doing my translation, this is chanting. In other words, everything you do is actually an extension of a glorification of the holy name. But still, we have to practice the actual process too, of chanting the holy name.
Yes, because in my experience, when the festival days are coming and being a pujari, my mind, when I'm chanting, my mind is on
the service.
The service, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're okay. It's not a problem. But if you're having trouble with your japa, this is the remedy.
Okay,
that's what it's saying. If you're not having trouble and you're just going to the festivals, that's nice. You can do seva and not do seva. Do seva of hearing and chanting, that's seva also.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, next slide. Okay. Someone read.
One must diligently complete the prescribed number of holy names according to his vow. And he must always check that he chants his round sincerely. Those who chant this distractedly are always eager to somehow complete the fixed number of holy names and be done with it. It is important to concentrate on the quality of the chanting and not on trying to artificially increase the number of holy names. The name of the Lord should be pronounced distinctly. Only by the grace of the Lord can this be achieved. Thus, one should pray to the Lord that he never falls victim to the
wiles
of the illusion of distraction, and that he can continue to taste the full nectar of the holy name.
So this is also about prayer. But one should count. This is again about the importance of keeping count. And complete. And I think we spoke about this last night, race against the clock. What I do, maybe this might be helpful to you, when I have a certain amount of time and I have more rounds than I can fit within that time, I'm not going to try to squeeze a couple extra ones by trying to race against the clock. Try to do whatever time nicely. Okay, I have an hour. I'm going to give an hour, but I'm not going to be trying to get a number in. I'm going to try to do them nicely. So it's a certain mindset. If I have more time, then all I do is then I just chant until my rounds are completed. And I can continue to chant. So you have to sometimes create blocks of time in their chanting. We don't recommend you do like, all right, I did 8 rounds, now I have 5 minutes, I'll do number 9. And then I have another 7 minutes, I'll do number 10. One round here, one round here, one round here. Not like that. Sometimes we do that. But it's just squeezing it in. Find blocks of time and make those times your chanting time. That's like this morning, we were a little rushed on time. So I had so much time and I had other things to do. So I said, all right, I'm going to have to surrender to the fact that I can't get as many rounds as I normally get done before I begin my day act. So I had to surrender to that. The other option was, you know, try to squeeze one or two more in there somewhere and make myself feel good that I did more than it. But it's, you squeeze it in, you squeeze Krishna out. Or he can't actually fit in there, and so he doesn't come in because it's too tight. So he's not being squeezed out, he's just not getting in, that's all. So yeah, do it nicely. And you know, there's a kind of a satisfaction that comes in the mind when you chant nicely. You feel that I didn't do so many, but I feel like I've connected nicely with the holy name. You can experience that. So don't race the clock. But plan your day. So, like on these festival days, you know, you might say there would be not much time for japa. So you have to see where there is some time periods, and then use those time periods for chanting. Pre-planning. Okay, that's practical. Okay, next one. The devotee should make a regular practice to spend a little time alone in a quiet place and concentrate deeply on the holy name. He should utter and hear the name distinctly. It is impossible for the jiva to single-handedly overcome and avoid the illusion of distraction. By the mercy of the Lord, however, this is accomplished with ease. Therefore, it is essential to fervently beg for the Lord's grace with great humility. This is the jiva's only means of salvation. So you can't chant attentively. You have to beg for that mercy. And there's a prayer. And I think tonight I'm supposed to give the evening class, and we're going to talk about how to access the mercy through various types of prayers. So we'll speak about that tonight. Prayers before japa, prayers during japa, like that. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you can't do it, you have to beg for the Lord's mercy. Krishna wants to see how eager you are. Any comments on that? Questions? Yes, Anuradha.
About the planning, about planning your japa. Because when you see your mothers in Krishna consciousness,
you see
mothers. They have many things to do. I mean, it's a lot of responsibility. It's children going to the school, making lunch for children. I mean, making prasadam for whole family, making plan how to make whole family like be Krishna conscious.
Yeah, they say a mother's duty is never done. Mother's work is never done. A woman's work is never done. That's the actual statement. Men are lazy. They do what they want. The women do what they have to do. Men do what they want. You know, certain nature of the genders. Women have responsibilities, and their main responsibility is to get the men to do something. Really, that's not a... Think about that one. That's a very important meditation. So yeah, it's difficult for a woman who's married with children and may also have other responsibilities. But still, I think certain solutions are that maybe some of these ladies can get together as a group and support each other. That would be one thing. Good point.
Yeah, because I was connecting with association with advanced devotees, that we, when we chant together and someone really have a nice round, like we said, that advanced devotee, he chant inside, you can feel it, that it's absorbed in holy name. So we can like support each other with chanting together,
right,
in group.
Yeah, that's nice. That could be propagated. Speak about that more when you get a chance. Actually try to institute that. Have little group sessions, and then that's that. Just the support alone makes the holy name more available. Okay. How are we doing on how many more slides?
Five or six.
Five or six. Let's just go through them fast. It's already 10 o'clock. So yeah. Results of applying remedies of vikshesha. Someone want to say this one?
These festivals will gradually rekindle the dying spark of spiritual taste.
Okay. Now what happens? The result is?
Thus, he will gradually again become attracted to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Tasting the superior flavor of pure spirituality, he'll naturally be disgusted by his inferior material attachments. He'll be
enraptured
by the sweet songs about the Supreme Lord's sung by the devotees, and his ears will fill up with nectar. His mind will become dislodged from matter and fixed in the pastimes and holy names of the Lord. When his mind is once again settled upon the holy name, he can chant eternally in a joyous and peaceful mood.
So here's the results. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura is explaining, by following the principles of the remedies, these are the results. So it's actually one thing follows another. These are not just eulogies to inspire us, but they're actually the results of following the process properly. Okay, next slide. Step by step, by special stroke of good fortune, a jiva develops enough faith to take shelter of the holy name. By regularly chanting a fixed number of holy names with special care and attention, that person gradually progresses towards anuraga, or spontaneous attraction for the holy name. Next. This is a famous verse. This is spoken by Srila Rupa Goswami. Someone read the translation.
I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind. And therefore all the senses become inert.
Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this verse composed, this was composed by Srila Rupa Goswami, he asked him again, what is that verse that you have composed? Please speak it again. Lord Chaitanya was so excited to hear this verse. So, yeah, we're getting a little understanding of what the great souls are experiencing. And it's also available for all of us. Okay, next one.
you're trying to achieve with your chanting. List some emotions you would like Krishna to be experiencing as a result of your chanting. When I chant, I want to leave Krishna feeling...
Okay. Somebody, when I chant, I want to leave Krishna feeling happy. Nice.
Pleased.
Happy. Pleased. Attracted. Satisfied. What else?
Beloved.
I want to feel Krishna feeling that he's being loved by me. Okay. Okay, that's nice. Anything else? He wants to, okay, you want to hear him to feel more protection towards you. Okay, that's nice. Want to come again. Nice, that's very nice. He has a good experience, he comes again, yes.
My desire to smoke with you.
Huh?
My desire to smoke with
you. My desire to serve him. So you want him to feel that you have a sincere desire to serve him. Yeah, nice. Okay. Anything else? How about Krishna feels like, I want the association of this person. Krishna's like that. He's very humble also. He's very humble. Or how the ones things you don't want him to feel is like, I want him to feel like, now I need some more money and he should feel inclined to give it to me. Something like that. Okay. Full manifestation. So these are the three. Darkness is Namaparad. By giving up the fences, by trying to give up the offenses, the dawn of light starts to gradually seep through the clouds of darkness. And that is Namabhas, the lessening of the fences, the clearing stage. And the light starts to create. And then beautifully, the clouds start to part, the beautiful sun rays of the holy name start to flood the entire atmosphere, soaking the devotee's mind and heart with ecstasy of love of God. He reaches the full stage of pure chanting and the full manifestation of the sun-like holy name becomes his experience. Okay, next. Countering Napara. Pure lifestyle necessary for good japa. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are preliminary necessities in order for good japa. Regulate your life. Regulate your eating. Regulate your sleeping. Regulate your activities that are related to the body. And then this will be an asset, or a support to achieve what we say the association of Krishna. So we have to work on regulating our day-to-day activities. Okay. Next slide. Someone read that.
Counteracting Nama Aparad. Krishna is also very kind. If you chant seriously, without offense, even the mental condition at the time of death is disordered, Krishna will help you how to chant without any offense. The only qualification is that we must be very sincere. Even by symbolic chanting, by joking,
if one can get the benefit, why not do it carefully? Why not do it carefully? What is the wrong there? Be serious and chant Hare Krishna very carefully in order to get success of life at the time of death.
So Prabhupada is teaching us to prepare ourselves for that time of death by practicing Krishna consciousness in a very sincere and serious way. Don't wait till later to become serious. Because they say, later never comes. It's always now. You can't live in the later, you live in the now. So the idea is, what you do now impacts upon what happens later. So yeah, so be sincere, and then Krishna will do the rest. Even if you're not perfect, he will make up the difference. That's his mercy. He's very kind. There was one devotee, his name was Sudama. He was a sannyasi. He fell from his position of sannyas and then later on left the movement and took up his old activities again. But he never forgot Prabhupada, never forgot the devotees. At one point he came down with a terminal disease. He went back to the Association of Devotees. And for a few weeks he was around devotees, hearing the chanting again, getting their association of devotees were taking care of him. At the time of death, everyone noticed it. His eyes got big. He looked in a certain direction. He said, Prabhupada, you've come. And then he left his body. He had done such wonderful service for Prabhupada, but somehow he fell away due to some bad association. But Prabhupada never forgot. Krishna's like that. He's very merciful. That's not something that we do. That's something that to show that even due to circumstances, if one never loses faith in the Lord, and then that'll be there. And Krishna will reciprocate. Yeah, there's actually many stories like that. Next one. Oh no, that's the next session. Okay, that concludes this particular session. Any concluding statements, comments, questions? Thank you very much. I'm sorry about going over time. I think there's a meeting with the initiates now. Take breakfast, and after breakfast, it's Harinam Sankirtan. So if you haven't been on Harinam Sankirtan in Ljubljana, it's an experience. There are thousands of people on the streets. It's a wonderful opportunity to spread the holy name. Okay. Thank you. Anasuya. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki. Yatai Gaura Premanande.